goodsuccess.com.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege of learning at your feet again today. And we ask that by the time we leave here today, let everyone be empowered to begin to communicate right in our marriages and in every area of life. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. The topic remains mastering the heart of communication for good success in life and marriage. So we have been looking at the series, The True Secrets of Success in Love and Marriage. And today is part 3 of it. And the topic is mastering the art of communication for good success in life and marriage. We're going to read some scriptures. Number 1, Proverbs 25:11. And it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I'm reading New King James Version. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season how good it is. Then Proverbs 15:1-2 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. We all know the importance of communication, and this is not something we have not done before. This is not about teaching, this is not about preaching, this is not about business, this is not about any aspect of life that we are not familiar with. This is communication. In fact, the first thing you did on earth was that you communicated with the old world that I have arrived. You cried. You cried to everyone. You said, "When I have arrived." So that means all of us, native to us, is communication. We are all used to communication. That is what we've always done all our lives. Communication is everything we've always done. So this is not something that you have not heard about before. It is not something you've not been doing. It is something you've been doing. But what we are looking at today is how you can maximize this for success in your personal life and in your marriage. It's been said that the pen is mightier than the sword. I don't care what kind of ammunition we have in our age. If somebody could give an instruction with his mouth or with his word to his general, launch that nuclear weapons. All those people need is just an instruction from somebody saying, launch it. And you see that they can destroy probably 6 million people at a time just with their nuclear weapon because somebody gave the command, somebody gave the instruction. So what are we saying today? Your words are powerful. Your words are strong. Your words are great. In fact, the Bible says something that a man shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. And we know this is talking about your words. The Bible says, by your words you'll be condemned, by your words you'll be justified. That means when you speak, you can bring justification to yourself. And on the other hand, the person can bring judgment to himself. It's been said, I don't know how true it is, but you do know that about 6 million Jews were destroyed in what is called the Holocaust. And that was led by the man called Hitler. There's this rumor, I don't know how true the story is, that he had a Jewish teacher who made a derogatory remark against him. I don't know what she said, but they said that teacher said something negative when this boy was very small. And Hitler grew up to begin to hate the Jews. And through him, about 6 million Jews were annihilated. They were totally destroyed because of the words of somebody. Whether that story is true or not, but it can be proved that what you say to a child can grow up to become something else when it grows old. And not only a child, to you and I, words are powerful. Words can change the trajectory of someone's life. Words can bring odds that are beyond imagination. In marriage, words can end marriage. Somebody just says, "You are stupid," instead of saying, "I'm angry." That word, "you are stupid," can end that marriage. And somebody saying, "Do you know I'm angry? This is what I would have preferred you to do." That can bring about the birth of a new love in a marriage. That means how we choose to express ourselves, what we choose to say, can destroy or make our lives and even our marriages. You know, Zelensky is the president of Ukraine. You know, he was a comedian. They said, I don't know how true it is, but he used to make a joke of Putin when he was still a comedian. Whether that is what is making Putin react the way he's reacting and fighting them, I don't know. But one thing I do know is that the word you speak can bring about peace and can start a war. And that is why we must intentionally choose our words. And there's something I've always said, that anything that can stay in your life for 5 minutes can last a lifetime, can last 100 years. We all know where we came from in Nigeria. We know there are so many tribes, so many people. One tribe is angry with another tribe. In the same town you grew up from, you can even have different dialects in the same town. Different dialects being spoken in the same town. And you can see some unspoken hatred between one to another because of something that happened probably hundreds of years ago. And people passed it down to the other generation, and it's causing problem over problem. What is communication? Communication is that thing that allows you to express yourself to another person, to tell other people how you are feeling, or what you want to do, or what somebody has done. That is communication. We have verbal communication, we have non-verbal communication. But one thing we do know is that communication is so important that if you don't know how to use it well, your prayers may not be answered by God. That means if you don't know how to communicate with God, because there's a way to communicate with God. If there was no special way, the disciples wouldn't be asking Jesus that, teach us to pray. They were communicating with Jesus. Many of them were older than Jesus. I don't even know if there was anyone who was younger than Jesus. So they've been praying before Jesus was born. But they knew that the way Jesus communicated with God is on a different level. And they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. The whole gospel is even communication. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every man. So communication is so powerful that it can change the life of somebody. Do you know, there was this testimony I heard in church today that there was this guy who was an hired assassin who was an armed robber. And because he heard a message, because he heard somebody preach, he turned his life to God and became an evangelist. The power of words. And some people have become thieves because somebody spoke something negative to them. Some people have become murderers because of the words of some people. What is the importance of communication? Do we know that every marriage begins with communication? In fact, it's been funnily said that you use your mouth to marry, not money. Some people say, I don't have money, so I can't get married. It is mouth you use to marry first. Or won't you invite a woman? Won't you say, I love you, I want to marry you? Or even with all the drama we do these days, will you marry me? She says, yes. Without those words, there's no marriage in the first place. And guess what is being attacked the moment you get married? Communication. The devil wants to break down the line of communication. Offenses begin to come up. You know, you are not living with this person. And I don't even care how much people do cohabitation. You won't still know each other until the actual aspect of marriage begins. For most people, of course, for children of God, you are not expected to be living with each other. So after you get married, so many things begin to come up. So many things you didn't see in the life of that person comes up. Something you didn't think the person would do comes up. Somebody who you never imagined would be snoring starts snoring, and you are angry. So many things come up. How you handle these things determines the length of your marriage, determines the joy in your marriage, determines whether you're going to enjoy your marriage or you are going to endure it. And the goal is for you to enjoy your marriage. The Bible says, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Proverbs 17:27-28. He says, even if a fool keeps quiet, everybody thinks he's wise. So that means a fool, if he keeps quiet, you think he's wise. For example, if I never told you I could play drums, you would never believe I could play drums. There was a day in church here that, you know, I think something happened. We were talking about the drummer or something. I mean, the technical you need, for crying out loud. And we started talking about drumming. Maybe we were talking about technicals and all that. And I mentioned that, oh, I could even play drums. And they were surprised. No, they all kept quiet after that. Then one day, something happened. The drummer did not show up in church. And they all looked at me and said, oh yeah, now, go and play drum. Imagine if I was lying. That's how the secret would have been exposed. So I had to play drum that day. So what am I trying to point out? If you don't say something, nobody will believe it. And it's what you say that you'll be measured by. For example, how you even say things matter. We'll still talk about that. So communication is so important in marriage that it's almost the reason why all marriages fail. I can almost say that's the reason. People have cheated on themselves in marriage, and they still had a good marriage after that. And some people, nobody cheated on each other, and there was no infidelity. It was just a matter of how you pressed toothpaste, and the marriage ended. Communication. If somebody offends you, how you communicate determines whether the person will come back to become your friend or will become an enemy for life. The job you have today or the business you have all revolves around communication. Why do we have interviews? You want to express your skills and abilities to other people. You've submitted your CV, they saw it, but they still called you, come and talk to us. We want to see you in person. We want you to talk to us. Because communication reveals so many things about yourself. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we've talked about prayer being communication of the highest order. Communicating on earth, what is your mind, to the mind of God. And you hear what God is even saying to you. So, how do we have a successful marriage through communication? Number one, communicate love. Communicate love. I know it's a surprise when we begin to talk about love in marriage. Even in the Bible, God said to the man, love your wife. If the man did not love his wife, would they get married? But God is still saying, when you get to the place of marriage, so many things happen that will make the man not feel like loving his wife and will make the woman not feel like submitting to the husband. So God is saying, communicate love. Learn to give and receive it. Some people are good givers of love, but they are very bad at receiving love. Every time somebody gives you love, you begin to second guess what the person had in mind, even in marriage. Some people, maybe because of their past or what has happened to them, even if their husband shows love to them or their wife shows love to them, they begin to think so many things. What does he want this time around? Is it because he wants something? But God wants you to be able to give and receive love. For example, like we're talking about, there's verbal communication and non-verbal communication. How you communicate something matters, not only what you communicate. How you do it matters a lot. For example, if I look at somebody and I say, I love you, what will you do? Most likely you look at me and be wondering, what happened? Is everything okay? I mean, I just said, I love you. That same way I just said it. It's going to look strange, but imagine if as a man you look at your wife and say, wow, you know what? I love you. And every day I keep loving you the more. Every day I look at you, my heart is filled with joy. There's a difference between those two things you've said. The first one, you just said as if you're talking to a passerby, I love you. No meaning, no emotion, no expression. But if you now come and begin to express, your facial expression is even glowing. Your face is glowing. And you're telling that person, I love you so much. I begin to say all manner of good things to that person. It means a different thing. So, how do you have successful marriage through communication? Communicate love. Tell the person how much you love him. Tell your spouse how much you love him. Tell him how good they are, how wonderful they are to you. Communicate love. Then learn to receive it. If somebody tells you I love you, your husband tells you I love you, your wife tells you I love you, receive it and believe it. The Bible says love believes all things. 1 Corinthians 13. It believes or believe what the person has said. Don't think there's an ulterior motive. Just believe that love. Then number two, communicate anger or displeasure. If you're angry with somebody, learn to communicate it. Don't just store it in yourself. If you store anger, it's just like a time bomb waiting to explode. You know, some people, when you hear what they have to say, you're like, "Ha, I thought you were a Christian." And the person begins to say all manner of wrong things. Do you know that 20 years ago, this is what this person did against me? And you're like, "Ha, what happened 20 years ago and you still have it in your mind?" Because they never learned to communicate their anger or displeasure. The Bible says in Colossians 4:6, that let your speech always be seasoned with salt. That means that filter your words before they come out. Communicate your anger. Jesus communicated anger. God the Father communicated anger. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, that don't grieve the Holy Spirit, don't make him angry. So if the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit can express their anger, you can also express your anger. The only thing is just choose your words when you are expressing it. Don't store it up. Don't make it a time bomb. Then the second part of it is receive when somebody is communicating anger or displeasure. Your spouse says, I'm angry. Don't begin to now get angry in return. No. Receive it. Receive what they are telling you. It is the secret. Receive when they say, I'm angry. Okay, I'm very sorry. Apologize first. Okay, now you begin to talk. What did I do wrong? So communicate anger or displeasure and learn to receive when somebody is communicating with you. Then number three, communicate apology. You are the one who has offended someone. Don't be too proud to apologize. The Bible says God will personally supervise the downfall of the proud. One of the signs of pride is not being able to apologize. So communicate your apology and do it fast and genuinely. Imagine if you offended me and I said, I'm sorry. Now, what you have done is even worse. It's better you just keep quiet. But imagine if you say, wow, I'm really sorry I did that. I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm very sorry. How can I make it up to you? Just tell me. I'm very sorry. Now, that makes a lot of difference. A friend of mine taught me something. He's not the, you know, spiritual brother in quotes. But he said every time his wife says, oh, you have offended me, he said he will put up this action, this drama. Oh, I'm very sorry. I'm really, really sorry. He said that's the end of every anger. He said the moment you apologize to anyone, there is nothing else they want to say. So learn to communicate your apology. Do it fast. Don't let it stay long. If you know you have offended someone, don't even wait for the person to come and accuse you. Go and apologize. Do it genuinely. Then also learn to receive it. When somebody apologizes, don't now begin to ride upon the moment and begin to see all manner of negative things. Some people, the moment you apologize, oh my God, everything you have done wrong in the past 20 years, they begin to repeat it. They begin to abuse you the more. No. That should not be you. When somebody apologizes, receive it also and forgive. Then what do you communicate again? Communicate gratitude and appreciation. Learn to give it. Also learn to receive it. When somebody buys something for you, somebody gives you something, show gratitude. Now, I'm going to paint two scenarios. Imagine if somebody gives you, let's say a man, somebody gives you a pen. And you're like, excuse me, I have like 50 pen in my bag. You know, that may be your attitude. Pen is very cheap. I don't know where you are in the world. Pens are always cheap. Of course, their pens are expensive. But let's say somebody bought you the basic of pen. Now, imagine if you say, wow, you bought a pen for me. Wow, thank you so much. This pen looks so beautiful. Wow, I can imagine what I will write with this pen. Wow, because you are the one who bought it for me, I know everything I write today is favor. And you now say, well, you know what I'm going to do? In my suit today, I'm going to put your pen there in my pocket. That's a different way to show appreciation. Imagine just a pen. What will I do with this one now? Just pen. Okay, thank you. And you walk away. You have spoiled the day. Now, whatever you are given, look at the person who has given it, not what you have given. I don't care what somebody has purchased for you. Bought you a car, bought you a pen, bought you even undies. Whatever the person has bought, show appreciation for that person himself or herself. Show appreciation. Show it to your husband. Show it to your wife. Whatever they have given, show appreciation, genuine appreciation. Jesus healed 10 people and all of them went away. Of course, all of them appreciated what Jesus did. They were happy. But one person came back and bowed his face to the ground and said, wow, thank you so much for healing me. How you say it, how you communicate it. You may not like drama, but when it comes to marriage, you must learn to dramatize. Dramatize your appreciation, your gratitude. Wow, thank you so much. Not only what you are given, but the person that God has given to you, your spouse. Look at them and say, wow, you look so beautiful. Every time I see you, you just glow. I think we should just put up the light in this house because everywhere is lighted as I'm seeing you like this. Talk to your wife. Talk to your husband. Show gratitude and appreciation. Look back and thank God that you are qualified for somebody to be added to your life. I don't care how beautiful you look or how handsome you look. That somebody can decide to come and join your life if you appreciate God and appreciate the person. So show gratitude and appreciation. Communicate it. Don't just keep quiet. Love not communicated is nothing. It's hatred in hiding. Communicate your love. The Bible says, don't let love be with hypocrisy. If you love somebody, communicate it. Your spouse this time around, your husband, your wife, communicate it. Then, what do we communicate again? How do we have successful marriage through communication? Communicate your desires and wishes. Some people, they never tell their spouse what they want. Their spouse will come to them, I want this, they will give it. I need this. They'll give it. They are always the givers. Always the givers. Always the givers. They don't express their desires. No, don't be that kind of spouse. Communicate your desires. For example, you are driving on the road and you're like, wow, I like that car. I like that car. Wow, it looks so beautiful. Express your desires. Tell your wife what you want. Tell your husband what you want. Some women, especially women, they can give to everybody. They can give to their husband. They can give to their children. They will deny themselves of everything. They don't express anything. No, that should not be you as a wife. That should not be you as a husband. Some husbands too, the same thing. They work from morning to night. They do 3 jobs, 4 jobs, whatever, just to please their family. But themselves, nothing. They don't express their desires. They don't express what they want. Express what you want. Express your desires. Don't be shy. Say it. This is what I want. Learn to ask questions. Learn to make demands of your wife, of your spouse, of your husband. This is what I want. Express it. Don't be shy of anything. You own each other. That's how God made it. Then number 6, communicate your visions. Communicate your visions. This is especially important to those who are not married yet. Before I married my wife, I told her, I said, see, I don't know. God may call me into ministry. By God's grace, I'm still a brother. I'm not a pastor. God can call me into ministry. If he calls me to become a pastor, are you okay with it? Because I don't know. My life is in God's hands. He may call me and he may not call me, but I'll still serve God. And she was okay with it. I said, fine. I've met somebody before. He said, I don't want to marry a pastor. They are boring. They are not romantic. I don't know about that one. But the truth is this. Communicate your visions. Learn to tell people, especially the person you want to marry. Tell them, this is what my future is going to look like. I'm going to be into business. I'm going to excel in my career. I want to become a pastor. Or God has called me. Express it. Don't hide it. Because it will lead to issues in the future. You know, somebody told me about a family that the man became a pastor, but the wife, oh my goodness, jaye jaye, you know jaye jaye, for everybody who understands Yoruba here. The woman will go to parties, will party, will do all manner of things, and she will say, see, he never told me he's going to become a pastor, so nobody should stop me, nobody should dull my life. No communication. Now, am I saying what she's doing is right? No. I'm just pointing out the fact that if you don't communicate what they're going to become, it can become issues in the future. Two of you should agree. It may look so flimsy, but agree. Before you get married, agree on your church that you attend. It leads to problems. That this is the church we are going to be attending when we get married. Do we agree? If you don't like his church, you better say it now. So that maybe you agree. I've seen couples before that this one is from one church, the other one is from another church. And they agree that when we get married, we are going to go to a neutral church. You are not coming to my church, I'm not going to your church, but we go to a neutral church. That's communication. And it has paid them. It paid them off. You know, communicate your visions, what you want to become in life. Your spouse should be aware of it. And we mentioned the types of communication, that is verbal communication and non-verbal communication. In fact, non-verbal communication is more important. If you grew up like I grew up, let's say a visitor came to your house, or you went to a visitor's house and you went with your parents when we were very small, and they give you food, what do you do first? You look at your parents' face. They will not look at you. I don't know how those parents did it, but they are very perfect. They will just look somehow so innocent. But when you look at their face, you can understand what they are saying without seeing anything. They are not laughing. They are not smiling. They are not frowning. But because you just look at them, two of you looked at each other, you know what they are saying, that if you dare collect that food, you go see when you get home today. That's what they are telling you. And you begin to behave yourself. Immediately, you lose appetite for whatever they are giving in the house. So, this is telling you the importance of non-verbal communication. You and your spouse, when you are communicating love or you are communicating anger, let your expressions be perfect. Let your expressions be real. Let your expressions communicate exactly what you want the person to have, not just what you feel. For example, if you're angry, you don't have to frown your face to tell somebody you're angry. You can still tell somebody you're angry by smiling. For example, there's something me and my wife started doing. Maybe instead of complaining, instead of saying, I don't like what you did, I just tell her, this is what I want. There's a better way of telling somebody, I don't like what you did. I think I would prefer, or in the future, this is what I like. This is my expectation. tell each other your expectations instead of resorting to complaining and confrontational statements. So it is very important that you maximize your nonverbal communication. And as we close today, we need to understand how to maximize communication. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, you know, paraphrase now, in the last part, it says that you may impart grace to the hearers. Your words communicate so many things. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can speak anger and somebody laughs at the end of the day. You can tell somebody their parents have died and they laugh at the end of the day. Like, I've shared that story before. Bishop Oyedepo said there was this lady who lost maybe her father. And everybody was like, how do we tell her? How do we tell her? He said, what happened? They said, oh, he just lost her father. He said, go and call her for me. And when she came, he said, between you and your father, if somebody were to go to heaven, who do you think should go? He said, ah, my dad now is older. I said, that's exactly what happened. He said the woman started laughing after hearing that statement. So how you communicate something can determine what the other person feels. Your words communicate emotions. Your word communicates a new word. Kenneth Hagin said something. He said they got to a house and they could sense in that house there are some negative words have been flying around because they've been fighting each other. But when they came, they started laughing, they started forming a romantic couple in front of them. But they could sense that in the air of this family, there is anger, there is bitterness. So we need to maximize our communication by communicating it to impart grace, not anger, not negative things. Impart goodness. Then as we close, if you want to maximize your communication, you need to communicate with yourself appropriately. It all starts with yourself. Whatever I want to tell you starts from my thoughts. Then it becomes words. So before you communicate with somebody else, the Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That means before I talk to you, I should slow down, weigh my words, measure how they look. Look at what that word is going to communicate to you. It's not just what I think, it's what you're going to think about what I said. That's what matters. Communication is not what I think you should say, it's what you think I said. So you want to make sure the other person sees exactly what you want them to have. So be slow to speak, choose your words, then speak. Learn to speak, learn to communicate. Don't just hide things. Don't just start storing things. Don't be the receiver alone. Communicate. Many of us were not taught how to talk right. We were taught how not to talk negatively, how not to talk wrongly. That's how many of us were taught. But we're not taught how to talk right. So we must begin to filter our words with the words of God and begin to speak well. And finally, learn to ask questions. Okay, so we just call it a day today. I believe we've all been blessed. But let's know that this topic that we're having is about marriage, and it should be a topic or series of topics that we should have questions about. So please, it also boils down to the place of communication. Learn to ask questions. You may have an idea, but every time you ask a question, you have the opportunity of having another side to it, another perspective to it. So bring it to your marriage also. Ask questions, communicate, learn to express your desires, learn to express apology, gratitude, and appreciation. And I pray that as we meet again next week, you'll be blessed. And I pray that everyone's marriage is going to become heaven on earth. Anyone who has been enduring their marriage, you're going to enjoy it by the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay blessed and see you next week. In Jesus' name, amen. TheGoodSuccess.com